or just a small selection of the things that we could have said, these songs that we could have sang, Lord, but no, truly no song can convey all that you are, the greatness of our God, Lord, that you are high above it all. And day by day, Lord, it's just that continual needing that reminder that you live up there. You live and you're seeing our lives, all the hills and mountains and valleys in front of us. And what we're going through and where we are today is no surprise to you. We pray that we would be faithful, Lord, as you are faithful to us, to keep our eyes on you, to trust in you, to put our hope in you, and that nothing in this world, Lord, we enjoy so many pleasures in this country. It is a great country, Lord. But we pray that nothing would ever take your place. And that if there is anything in our hearts today that has that place in our lives, that you would dethrone that, Lord. At whatever cost, that we would put our eyes on you and serve the one King. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. We pray as we open up your word together now, that you would speak to us in power, Lord, that you've put this word on our pastor's heart, Lord, to come now, and that you'd give him that clarity to preach, Lord, this message, and through this book of James, Lord, that we've learned so much in. We just pray that you would speak to us and that your presence would be here with us in your word, and Lord, that it would impact us and that we would respond. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And kids, you can go on across the street.
Well, good morning. We are so proud of our men and our women. We had at least 30 guys at the men's breakfast yesterday morning. Very special time of sharing and prayer time and looking at another event, and then at the end of this month, and to find tickets, see Ray in the back, and that's an annual event, and then the women have a lot going on too. So God's doing a work here and touching a lot of hearts and our men and our women. We appreciate that. And I tell you, we've had a blown out year too, and Awana's has always been crowded this year. And so we're very excited about that. And Larry's had a good group too with the youth. So God is just really blessing. You know, as we've gone through the book of James here, and we just have one other Sunday, we're going to look at the book of James, but he does kind of just go from one topic to the next, and it's kind of like this is what he's thinking. And last Sunday he was thinking, yeah, I need to teach y'all how to better have a better look on finances and your view of money. And then today he's saying, and oh yeah, I think you guys need a little bit more patience too in your Christian living. And I'm not seeing a lot of patience there. So that's the topic this morning in James chapter 5, 7 through 12. And I'm sure that's something we all need. How many need patience in there? Okay. So the way James applies that, of course, is the way the world looks at it, and then the way the Christians should look at it. And it's really something that is very beneficial as Christians. I think we forget that sometimes. We get frustrated, we get anxious about things, and we worry about things, and we forget about the good things about patience, the good things about waiting. And he's going to share that with us this morning, because we do a lot of waiting in life. You have to wait to go to school, and then you have to wait to get out of school. You wait to find that someone, and then you have to wait to get married, and then you wait to have kids, and then you wait for the kids to go, and then, you know, there's just all kinds of waiting within in life. And, you know, even when you go out to eat, there's like five times you got to wait. You got to wait to be seated. You got to wait to get the menu. Then you got to wait to get your order. Then you have to wait for your food. Then you have to wait for your bill. And then they had the gall to call the other guy the waiter, and we're the ones doing all the waiting. And so life is full of waiting, and the Bible talks about waiting in the sense of patience, in the sense of perseverance, in the sense of faith, that really it's a sign of our faith in the Lord and our trust in Him, that God is in control and He's in power. So let's look and see what James has to say. James 5, 7 through 12, he starts off, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." So, even back then, you know, it's one of those things that we wait for the Lord's coming, but there's a reason for us being here. There's a reason that He hasn't come yet. God's Word says when that last person comes to know the Lord as Savior, then that's when Jesus is coming. Is He waiting on you? Have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? You know, He loves. He would not have anyone perish without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So He's saying you need patience during that time, but it's not just patience that we're talking about this morning and just folding your hands and twiddling your thumbs and not doing anything. It's patience with a purpose. So He says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops." So one of the illustrations He used is a farmer. You cannot be a farmer unless you're going to learn patience, unless you know patience. There's so many things a farmer has to be patient about the tilling of the soil and the fertilizing, the planting of that seed and waiting it to sprout out, the patience of bringing in the crops in the right timing and the right season and the right amount of rain. So many circumstances he has no control over, okay? Takes a lot of patience. So he uses a farmer as an example here. Waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. And you wonder, why does he throw in grumbling and moaning and complaining in the midst of patience? Well, it's because actually that's just the opposite, isn't it? When we become irritable, when we get tired of waiting, when our patience runs out, that's where we start becoming critical and grumbling and complaining about things. And he says, don't do that because you don't understand what having patience is, the positive aspects of that. So he says, don't grumble against each other. Brothers, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. So he's going to talk about the need for three types of patience. Number one here is things that we have no control over, the circumstances like a farmer. But now he's talking about the prophets who have no control over changing people. Do you know anybody that's just not going to change, no matter how many times you tell them what they should be doing or the way they should be acting? You know, you have to deal with people that just aren't going to change. The prophets had to deal with people like that who just would not confess their sins and turn to the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered, those who have waited. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. So now, you know, we're talking about the Super Bowl of all patience is the man called Job, okay? He's a man that had no understanding of what was going on, a very righteous man, loved the Lord. He couldn't understand why everything was taken away from him physically, all of his material possessions, all of his children were taken away. He had a horrible disease that left him in tremendous pain. The only thing he had left was a nagging wife that said, "Curse God and die." Okay? Now, Job had such patience, though, that he loved the Lord and he saw that through, and it was out of his control. And in the end, Job actually ended up with more than what he had at the beginning. And we're going to see how there's tremendous reward in patience. There's tremendous reward in perseverance and in staying in there. And so he uses him as an illustration. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. That's not going to change a thing. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. So he talks about patience and perseverance, and six times here and three different illustrations he uses. When should we be patient? Okay, when should we be patient? The first one here is when circumstances are uncontrollable. Okay, we need patience when circumstances are beyond our control. Okay, we can't change them. We can't have an effect in it. And the illustration there is the farmer in verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord comes. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is. So he has to wait to till it. He has to wait to plant it and to prune it. And he has to wait on the weather. He has to wait on the rain. He has to wait on the heat, the economy, to the labor practices at that time. There's so many uncontrollable factors that he's having to deal with. And he's having to use a lot of faith, a lot of trust, a lot of prayer in the Lord during that time. And we can't change anything by worrying. Okay, we think by worrying, if it's something that we can't change, we're not going to make anything better by worrying. If it's something we can change, then to worry would be stupid. Okay, so he says you don't worry about these things and circumstances that are beyond our control. But number two, he says there's also things we have to have patience about in this life, perseverance, and that's when people are unchangeable, when people won't change within our lives. And he says, an example of patience is in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Have you noticed that people resist change? People do not like to change. And the prophets realized this and were so frustrated and threw up their hands, Lord, they won't change. They won't listen to me. Nobody cares about me. I don't get any respect as a prophet. These people are not going to change. Joyce Lander calls these people irregular people. They are the people who only see things their way and they never change. And we have to have patience with people like that within our lives. Patience in the Greek word is the word makrothumos. Macro means long. Okay, thumos is where we get thermometer, which means heat. So it's saying a patient person is one who takes a long time to get hot. Okay, it has a long fuse. And so that's what he's saying we need to be as parents and not get overheated, not to become uncontrollable, and not to get upset, not to become irritated in these three different situations, either through circumstances or through people or through problems. And then this third area, when problems are unexplainable, okay? We need to have patience in those areas we just can't explain. You can't give a reason. You cannot give an answer for everything that happens within life. Verse 11, you have heard of Job's perseverance, Job, who went through the Super Bowl of suffering. He didn't understand what was going on. He was completely in the darkness. He was in the blind. He didn't know what God was doing within his life. Though he was a very righteous man, he lost everything, his finances, his family. He lost his children, and he had no idea what was happening. For 37 chapters in the book of Job, God didn't even talk to him or tell him what was happening. And he said, why me? You know, and life isn't fair. So many times, life is not fair. And God never said that it was. But through that whole process, Job kept his faith. And we're going to realize, too, there's great rewards in keeping our faith, in keeping our patience, in staying in there and persevering. So we have circumstances that are uncontrollable. There's people that are unchangeable. And there's problems that are unexplainable, and that's why we need patience. So why be patient? Number two, okay, this is the reason why we need to be patient, okay, in life. First of all, because God is in control. In verse 8, he says, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. The Lord is near. God is in control. God is in control of history. It's his story in history. There's not one thing that ever happens that God didn't know already was going to happen and before it happened. And God's purpose for our life is greater than any problem we may ever face. We have to understand that. We really have to understand that. That God's purpose for our life and what he's doing in our life is far greater than any problem that we may be facing in our life. So we're resting our hearts on the ultimate certainty, and it's out of our control, but it's never out of God's control. And God is moving towards a climax. God is in control. His purpose is greater than any problem. God's word says, resting your heart on the ultimate certainty that it's out of our control, but it's in God's control. I can't control everything, but God can. So Job persevered. God's timing is perfect. He's never late. And so the number one reason that we have to practice this thing called patience, because it's a sign of faith, because it's a testing period, it's a sign that we really believe there's a purpose, there's a plan in life, there really is a God that loves us, that he's dealing with us, that he's working behind the scenes, that we don't always fully understand what's going on, but he is. There is a God. But then second of all, this passage talks about because God rewards patience. He rewards patience. And he says, blessed is a person who shows patience. In verse 11, it says, as you know, we consider blessed are those who have persevered. There's all kinds of rewards in patience, okay? There's no rewards in the shortcuts. There's no rewards in getting upset and getting angry and stomping our foot and trying to make things happen our own way. But there is blessings in seeing character grow and people better and happier and God rewarding people and being honored by others. Matthew 5, 13 through 14 says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And so he's saying, when people put you down, there's great reward in that. If we don't, you know, come back in criticism or anger, he says, be patient. There's going to be reward. There's reward in this life, and he says there's going to be reward in the life to come. And so it's our natural tendency to retaliate so many times, to criticize back, to insult back. But patience is the opposite of that. And he's saying, be patient. Be patient because we know God is in control. Be patient because we know that he rewards patience. And then see, because God is working things out. This is what we need to understand. God is working things out, often behind the scenes. Verse 11, you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So, a delay is not the same thing as denial, okay? We have to understand that when God is doing a work within our lives and we're going through this patience process, when we're in God's waiting room and having to wait, it's waiting with a purpose, okay? We have to believe that. It's waiting with a purpose. It's not wasted time. It's waiting where God is doing things behind the scenes that we're unaware of. He's getting things ready. He's preparing us for something. Maybe for that divine intervention in the future, you know, when God says we're going to meet up with him here and we want to hurry and be there, but we're back here, and it's not going to work that way. We're not going to be ready for it, and we won't understand it. It won't come together in God's sequence and God's timing. Philip Brooks, a famous pastor, was once in his office pacing the floor frustrated. Somebody walked in and saw him and asked, "What's the matter?" And he said, "Well, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." You know, and that's the way our lives is so many times. He says, be patient because I'm working things out. While I am waiting, God is working, and we need to remember that. When the farmer is waiting on that seed to sprout patiently, God is working behind the scene making that seed grow. Okay? Things just don't happen automatically. There may be times in your life you know God wants you to do something, but it just doesn't happen immediately. I know when God called me to pastor, was in high school, somebody said, well, a call to the ministry is a call to get ready, okay? So in my patience and endurance, 4 years of college and 4 years of seminary, you know, it's that preparation. We're in God's waiting room, not doing anything, but we're making preparation and being ready for when God says, now is the timing, now is the answer to your prayer. It's like waiting at a stoplight. You're waiting there for a reason. You're not waiting at a stoplight just because you have nothing else to do. You're waiting for your own safety. If you were to go against the red light, you would get hit. And that's what he's talking about. This type of patience is all about. It's for our own good. It's for our own safety. It's because it's not the right timing. Philippians 2:13, God is at work within you. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, God is working. So God is working in our lives, financially, relationally, health. God is working out those problems. And so we have to be patient because God is in control. And we really don't even understand timing in the way that God understands timing. Okay? And also because he rewards the patient. It'll be so much better if we wait on the Lord than if we try to make things happen on our own. And then because God is working things out his way. Now, what am I supposed to be doing while I'm waiting on God? When we're in God's waiting room, you know, it's kind of like when we're in the doctor's waiting room or the dentist's waiting room, you know, it's what's next. And this is what we are to be doing when we're in God's waiting room. What does a farmer do when he's in that waiting room, when he's having to show that patience? Well, number one, he waits expectantly. He waits expectantly. He's waiting on God. He's waiting for that harvest. You know, the farmer is not just sitting around doing nothing. He may be fertilizing what he's already planted. You know, he may be weeding. He may be working on a tractor that is broken so it'll be running when the time comes that he needs to make that harvest, but expectantly waiting and preparing that. Psalms 130 verse 5 says, I wait expectantly, trusting God to help, for he has promised. You know, what are you waiting on from God? What are you waiting for God to do within your life? To transform a marriage, to reverse financial problems, to reach that teenager for Christ. He says, according to your faith, it will be done. What are you doing to get ready for that? You know, what are you doing in that waiting period, in that patience period, to get ready for an answer to that prayer? If the answer came today, would you be ready? Would you be ready for it? Are you preparing? Preparing demonstrates expectation. It's expectation. He's reeling. And so many times we think that we're waiting on God and we're having to be patient to wait on God, but really what it is God is waiting on us. Okay? If you ever thought about it that way. And God is saying, come on, I've been waiting a long time, you know, for you to get this right in your life, to come back to me, to ask forgiveness for this. You know, Jesus waited 30 years. It wasn't like as soon as he was able and had that maturity and as a son of God just to take off in ministry haphazardly. God prepared him for 30 years. And so that within 3 of those years, he accomplished more than anybody has ever accomplished in their lifetime. He turned the world upside down in those 3 years, but he waited in patience for that time. He waited for that fullness of time within his own life. Isaiah 49:23, the Lord says, no one who waits for my help will be disappointed. We have to wait for God's help. So what did we do? How do we wait patiently? James is saying be patient. He's saying wait expectantly. You know, but it's also interesting that he says to wait quietly. We are to wait quietly. Patience quietly. He's saying we're not to run off the mouth when we're irritated, when we get upset. We're so frustrated because it's not happening fast enough. We're so tense. We're under pressure. And things aren't under our control. So what does he say? He says, number one, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. You know, don't complain. Don't grumble. Don't mumble. And there, don't blame your troubles on other people if you're going through this waiting room and this patience time. It's time, you know, to rise and shine, not to rise and whine. And don't blame your troubles on one another. If we're home at night dog tired, it's because we growled all day, you know. So he's saying, you know, we have to rest in that peace. It's kind of like the woman who put on the tombstone of her husband, rest in peace. And then she found out she only got $5 and his secretary got everything else. And so she had it on the tombstone, rest in peace until we meet again, you know. So there was no rest for him. And so we wait quietly, we wait expectantly, and he says, above all, my brothers, do not swear. So under pressure, does waiting ever tempt you to swear, having to wait on something? You know, when you get frustrated, do you feel like cussing? You know, sometimes I get frustrated, sometimes not at people, but at things. You know, working on cars, I don't like that. Using a wrench and it flips off and you scrape your hands and you have to say that sorry thing. And, you know, but he's saying don't do that. Don't wait. Don't be impatient. He's saying don't become frustrated with wives, with your life. Don't be frustrated in relationships. Unload on your wives or your husbands or your children. And, you know, and that's another thing we do. We take it out on those that are closest to us, don't we? You know, and it's our impatience and when we grow impatient. Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Habakkuk 2:3, these things won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue one single day. You know, do you have a dream in life? Do you have a goal? Do you have a vision of things that you feel like God wants you to do with your life, and it just hasn't happened yet? You know, he says, don't become frustrated. It's good to wait quietly for that salvation of the Lord. We wait expectantly. We get things ready in our heart, our understanding, our knowledge, our faith. We wait quietly before the Lord. And then last of all, he's saying here how we wait confidently. He's saying, I will wait confidently on the Lord. You know, we have that hope. It's that for sure hope. It's not that maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen. We know God is for sure. He says, be still. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. And he will act. He'll act over those uncontrollable situations that we have no control over. He will act over those uncontrollable people that we have no control over. He acts over those circumstances. He acts over those problems that we have no idea in the world why they're happening. But he gives us that patience and that perseverance to get through those hard times and to come out even stronger, to be able to deal with people and their idiosyncrasies, with our own idiosyncrasies, and to help us to wait expectantly, to prepare and to wait quietly, and through those circumstances that are uncontrollable. Three times in the passage, he said, the Lord is coming back. And he is coming. He is coming soon. And there are so many things happening in the world today that we have to have that patience. We have to have that perseverance. That is a sign of faith, that God is control, that he's watching over us, that He has a plan for our lives. And sometimes we just need to get in sync with this timing of God. And James brought this out. He said, be patient, brothers, until the Lord's coming. Because so many times we can get impatient in our relationships with one another. And we can get impatient with ourselves, too. And God says we can't live that way because He's in control. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You so much for this reminder this morning not to get irritated, Lord, and in our speech and our action and towards one another or even in the grumbling and the judging of things. And Lord, so many things are out of our control that we have no power over, but You have all power and You are in total control, Lord. You are God. You're the creator of the universe. You have a plan. You have a purpose. Lord, and just help us in our growing that our waiting times would be one of expectancy, of patience, Lord, of working things out, of growing closer to Yourself, of growing stronger within our own Christ-like character and what You would have us to be doing, and not to give up that hope, Lord, but to hang on to that certainty and that surety that You are with us, that You'll never, ever leave us or forsake us, that You have a plan for us. There's things that we can be doing, and we're not just sitting and waiting patiently, twiddling our thumb, but we can wait expectantly and with a purpose, Lord, and preparing ourselves for whatever You have for us to come, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.
Just as You are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as You are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live.
We thank you so much for your presence. We thank you for the patience that you have for your creation. Lord, the times that we have to be disappointing in our sinfulness, Lord, but yet in your grace, your love and forgiveness, you pick us up. It's a good shepherd. We thank you for that tenderness, Lord. We thank you for your patience in dealing with creation. And Lord, we pray to turn around and show that same patience, one to another, towards ourselves, and in life. Lord, and just learn to live on your timetable and what you have for us, Lord, in those times of divine intervention where we just have to be in sync with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
We're going to close and take our offering on this last song here. And as always, if anyone's wanting to sing during this time, you can always come talk to me. Plenty of openings.